Am I in the air?
All right. What is going down, everybody? Welcome back to another brand new edition of Am I on the Air? It's season 28, episode 12, and tonight's show is titled Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. That's right. My name is Don Mega. I am your host. We're going to be breaking down the news from March 21st through today, March the 26th. So strap on in. We got some movies to talk about, non-spoiler. We got some TV shows to talk about, non-spoiler. And then, of course, we'll get you caught up with all the latest and the greatest when it comes to entertainment news from the last 7 days. So let's jump on in. Let's not waste any time because Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. My first movie to talk about is the new Ghostbusters, guys. So yes, this is the new number one movie, definitely in the U.S. I didn't check to see if it was worldwide or not. But in the U.S., it is our new number one movie. The Spengler family returns to where it all started, the iconic New York City firehouse, to team up with the original Ghostbusters, who developed a top-secret research lab to take Bustin' Ghost to the next level. But when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. So, of course, this is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This is the direct follow-up to Afterlife, which came out a couple years ago, which, of course, was kind of a soft reboot, a kind of a Ghostbusters 3, but taking it in a different direction with a new family. You had Carrie Coon playing Callie Spangler. She was the daughter of the original Ghostbuster. And then her kids played by, you got Finn Wolfhard and you got McKenna Grace. So their characters there. And then, of course, in Afterlife, they meet the teacher played by Paul Rudd. He starts dating the mom and we're kind of off to the races, right? We had the moments in Afterlife and at the end of Afterlife, we go to New York and we go back to where it all began. Now, this movie being Frozen Empire, it looks really, really cool. I just want to say that this movie was made for under $100 million. And I think effects-wise, it looks really, really cool, especially the Frozen stuff. Like when the Frozen guy comes out and everything starts to crystallize, it's a pretty cool effect. It looks really, really nice. Of course, you got the original Ghostbusters back here. You got Dan Aykroyd. You got Ernie Hudson. You got Bill Murray all popping back up. Patton Oswalt pops up in this one as well, along with Kumail Nanjiani. Now, I just want to say right off the bat, that Kumail steals the show. He is so fantastic in this. And in the trailers, you wouldn't really get it because they hide kind of a lot of the stuff that he does. He's only in the trailer very, very little. But what he does and what he contributes to the movie is fantastic. And he's just hilarious. He's just such a funny dude to have in a movie. And I loved it. I loved his presence. I loved what they did with him. It was great. Overall, of course, Paul Rudd, fantastic as always. McKenna Grace, so, so good as Phoebe Spangler. She was the heart of Afterlife. She's the heart of this movie. This girl, man, she's got a hell of a career ahead of her if she keeps her head on straight. I think there's going to be big things for McKenna Grace. You know, Carrie Coon's always good when she pops up. Now, there's a couple side characters that were in Afterlife. Celeste O'Connor's character, Logan Kim's character. He played a character named Podcast. You start to wonder, like, okay, like, they moved to New York. Why are some of the side characters from Afterlife in New York as well? It doesn't quite make sense. Like how did this kid Podcast just up and move to New York? You know? It's like, okay, so you got to stretch your imagination a little bit sometimes with some of these characters. Like, why is everybody still here? Obviously, they wanted to keep the core cast from Afterlife, but it's a little stretch. Here's what I'm going to say about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Because it definitely has some mixed results that I see online. It's kind of right in the middle there, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes, around that 60-ish% mark. I think it's a solid movie. I think it's really funny. I think it has a lot of heart. I think everybody that's in it does a great job. What holds it back from really being like a fantastic movie is there's too many characters. There's a ton of characters in this movie, and everybody needs time to shine. And when you have that, it just kind of takes away because you're pivoting and you're moving around so fast to get from one character to another that nothing really has time to breathe. Afterlife was smaller. It was more about the family. And then now it's like you still want to keep that family, but you want to bring the original Ghostbusters back in a bigger fashion. You want to introduce, Patton Oswalt's character. You want to introduce Nanjiani's character. Plus you got to bring the friends back in, and then you got some subplots that are going on. So the movie is crowded. It's very, very crowded. So I think it bogs it down. I think it holds it back, and unfortunately, that kind of sucks. But like I said, overall, going into a Ghostbusters movie, I think it's a good blend of what we've had before. It fits into, the world. It's there to bridge that gap again from the original Ghostbusters movies to Afterlife and kind of take it to the next level because they're all Ghostbusters now. And I appreciated that. It's got some good laughs, it's got some good visuals. They go back to the well sometimes to older stuff that's probably not needed, but member berries don't bother me too much. I kind of dig them. So overall, I thought it was a really fun movie, and I think it's worth checking out. So Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, now in theaters, 3 out of 5 stars. Then over the weekend, I went and saw, actually on my birthday was this past Saturday, and we decided to go out as a family and check out a family flick. And the only real big family flick playing that we wanted to check out was Arthur the King. This movie actually came out last week, and so I was catching up on some stuff, and I said, you know what, I want to check out Arthur the King. This one here was the true story. Over the course of 10 days and 435 miles, an unbreakable bond is forged between pro adventure racer Michael Light and a scrappy street dog companion dubbed Arthur. As the team is pushed to their outer limits of endurance in the race, Arthur redefines what victory, loyalty, and friendship truly mean. From the minute I saw the trailer, I was like, man, this looks really sweet. Looks heartwarming. Wasn't quite sure I'd go to the theater to see it. That's why last weekend, or 2 weeks ago, when it came out on March 15th, I didn't go to the theater that weekend to see it. I almost did, but then I ended up watching Imaginary, which was a horrible mistake. I should have went and saw this. But yeah, I didn't get to see it that first week it was out. Wasn't quite sure I was going to see it. And then, on my birthday, we were just all together and we were hanging out. We needed something to do. We said, let's go to the movies. Let's go check out Arthur the King. And this one here has got Mark Wahlberg. It's got Natalie Emmanuel from the Fast and Furious movies and Game of Thrones. Simu Liu, of course, pops up in this. So this one here, pretty straightforward story. Mark Wahlberg plays Michael Light. He's an adventurer where they go cross country and for like 10 days they are hiking and climbing and bicycling, riding, they're swimming, they're running. I mean, there's just anything you can think of that's a physical activity they're doing over the course of these days. And the movie kind of starts off showing that, a failed race that he did. And then it kind of fast forwards a couple years later, and he really, really wants to get that one last race in. So he puts his team back together and they go out on this race. And you see this in the trailer. I'm not giving anything away, but halfway through the race, they meet this dog and then they continue their race. And when they get to their next spot, which is like, hundreds of miles later, the dog bumps into them again. And they're like, what the hell? Like, how the hell is this possible? How's this dog back with us? So Mark Wahlberg takes the dog with them on the rest of the trip. And then it becomes this heartwarming story about the team, about their relationship with the dog. The dog is, of course, sick. So then how do we save the dog? But how do we also finish our race? And it just kind of goes from there. I don't want to spoil anything. But it's a very sweet story. Very, very sweet story. The dog is incredible. The story is incredible. And this is a true story, and it really just makes it just so heartwarming. I'll just leave it there because I don't want to spoil too much of where it goes from there. But man, this movie had me at moments, man. There was a couple tears that shed down my face, that's for damn sure. I think at one point I was wiping tears, my wife was wiping tears, my daughter was wiping tears, and I'm like, okay, they got us. This movie got us. So Arthur the King, super, super solid flick. Definitely worth checking out. Even if you don't see it in the theater, when it gets to streaming, definitely make sure you give this one a watch. It is worth it. Arthur the King, I'll give 3 out of 5 stars. Very solid flick. And then it was Roadhouse time. That's right. We go over to streaming. Prime Video dropped Roadhouse, and I had to watch that one over the weekend. Of course, this is kind of a reimagining of the Patrick Swayze film from the 80s. Grew up on that film, loved that film. Go back now and watch that trailer. It's a little dated, a little cheesy, a little dated, but you dig it, right? Now, this time you got Jake Gyllenhaal in the lead here. And he plays ex-UFC fighter Dalton, who ends up taking a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. Directed by Doug Liman. I love Doug Liman a lot. Pretty much everything this guy's directed, I have really enjoyed. I love Jake. I think he's great. I think he's super underrated at times, but he is awesome. This one here, on top of him, you got Daniela Mellenkauer, who mainly is known for the Suicide Squad movie that James Gunn did a couple years ago. She's great in this. Conor McGregor as the big bad guy. Billy Magnussen as another bad guy. Jessica Williams, who I'm just recently familiar with her from the TV show Shrinking, which is really, she's great on that show, and she was pretty good in this here too. So yeah, so that's your core cast. What I love about this movie, and I'll tell you straight up, I loved it. And this is one of those movies. Also, when I look online, there's a bunch of people that love it like I do, and then there's a bunch of people that are like, "What a piece of shit," and hated it, And especially the people that compare this to the Patrick Swayze movie, you're gonna always see the people that are complaining and saying like, "It's no Swayze, it's no this or that," and no. Why can't it just be its own thing? Why? And the thing I think that people are missing here is that they know the movie they're remaking, and they went for a little over the topness, a little campiness, a little cheesiness. This was all done on purpose. So for every person that, for example, Conor McGregor, right? Conor McGregor's not a great actor. I don't even know if he's acted before. And he's super over the top in this movie, to where I can understand when people go, "Man, Conor McGregor sucked in this film." But you know what? I think he kind of did what the director asked him to do. I think they wanted him to be that 80s classic over the top villain. You know what I mean? And he plays it. And you got to respect it for that. Everybody I feel is playing this 80s style over the top villain. This is a very basic story. And in a world where all these movies are so convoluted and have all these crazy plots and twists and turns, this is a very straightforward movie. Can you come bounce in my nightclub? All these people keep picking fights at my club and causing a ruckus. And then you find out that the bad guy just wants the land, right? It's a real estate thing. I need the land, and that roadhouse is on the last piece of land that I need to complete, my future. So we'll do anything by any means necessary to get them to sell the roadhouse, or we'll destroy it. It's a very classic 80s kind of plot. It's just, this is what we need to do. Let's go do it. Jake's got to save the day. So yes, the villains are cheesy. Some of the dialogue is cheesy, but I think everybody's doing it and having fun, and it's what they wanted to do. It's a Roadhouse remake. So maybe if you watch it back in that kind of light, you'll understand, right? Because and I think Jake gave it his all, man. He was great in this. I loved his charisma. I loved the fighting. I really enjoyed what he brought to this. And I would love to see a sequel. I'd love to see where they could take this. Everybody's really, really good in this, I've also seen some complaints that, Connor's character shouldn't be able to go toe to toe with Jake's character, right? Because Jake's an ex-UFC fighter, so nobody should be able to take him down. And I gotta disagree with this. Like, Conor McGregor's bad guy character is one of these characters that when everyone else fails, they call him, right? They call in the big guns, like, hey, we need you now for this because the other guys can't get it done. So of course he's going to be harder to beat. Of course he's going to seem more invincible because he's the big dog. He's the boss, right? He's the boss level that they're calling to come in and take down this guy that no one else can. So it made sense to me. I don't understand why people are so hung up on the fact that, like, oh, there's no way his character would come in and just be able to be, a threat to Dalton. I got it. I understood it, but hey, that's just me, right? But I had a blast with this one, man, and maybe because it was on streaming and I was just chilling on my couch, I maybe had a better time with it. Who knows? But I would recommend it. If you're an action junkie and you love the 80s one and you want to see something fun, that's what this movie is. It's fun. Don't overthink it. I would give Roadhouse 4 out of 5 stars. I had a blast with it. Check it out now, streaming on Prime Video. All righty. Now, switching over to the TV side. I know a lot of you waiting to hear. Do 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 do. X-Men 97. Marvel Animation Studios has brought out X-Men 97 finally. This is the sequel series to the 90s X-Men cartoon, kind of picking up where the cartoon left off and continuing the story. Now, I did watch, they dropped the first two episodes. I watched the first two episodes. Here's what I'm going to say. For those of you that have been listening to me for any amount of time, you know cartoons are very hard for me. They just are. They're very, very hard for me. Every once in a while, you get some really good animated stuff like Spider-Verse, So X-Men 97, I was down to check out because I love X-Men. I did watch the animated series in the 90s, even though I don't remember much about it. I checked it out because I like the X-Men and I wanted to see their stories. And of course, that's where I got it. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. So I was ready, man. I was down. And everybody I know that watches this absolutely loves it. My boy Friggins, he was telling me the other day, like, how amazing this was. Everybody's loving it and just eating it up, right? I think it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And here's what I'll say. It's a cartoon. It's fine. It's fine. In a thumbs up, thumbs down world, it would get a thumbs up. I'll tell you this, I'll continue to watch it. I want to see where the show goes. I want to see how the story plays out. I don't hate this by any stretch of the imagination. On the other side, it's still a cartoon that's uber cheesy. The dialogue is hard for me to get through. It's rough, man. It's rough for me. And that's my personal thing. I can completely understand why so many people love this thing. And like I said, I don't hate it. I was surprised my wife actually wanted to watch it with me, and she felt the same way. She was like, it's a cartoon and it's cheesy, but I kind of want to see where the story goes. So she wants to continue it. I want to continue it, and we'll keep watching. But to me, like, it's just kind of there. Like, I don't see anything wow about it, It just, I appreciate that they're trying to keep it in the 90s and continue all that stuff on. But it's just, the dialogue's just so cheesy over the top, man. And I don't know, bub. I don't know what to tell you. I just struggle with cartoons, and maybe that's just my thing, man. But it's not bad. And if you're a fan of the original series, if you're a fan of animation, you're a fan of X-Men, you're gonna love this. So, don't let anything I say take away from anything. This is just me and cartoons and my kind of like my hold up to kind of try to get over that hump. But it's cool and I'm glad it's here, and we'll continue to see where the season takes us. All right. My next big show that I checked out is the new Netflix show that I've been waiting for, man, The Three Body Problem. This is based on a book series. It's a drama, it's a mystery, it's a fantasy, it's science fiction. This show is all over the place. Across continents and decades, five brilliant friends make earth-shattering discoveries as the laws of science unravel and a threat emerges. So, I don't even know what to say about this show that I can say about this show without going into spoiler territory. This is a very weird show. This is one of those shows, like I said, it's based on a book, and the people that read the book said, how are you going to make this a show? Like, how is it even possible to adapt this into a television show? And I've watched the first two episodes, and I like it. It's very interesting, but it's very weird, and there's a lot going on that I couldn't even sit to begin to describe for you. So all I'm going to say is that if you're a fan of science fiction, if you like drama and mystery and fantasy and all the above, you should check this one out, or at least watch the trailer. And if you think it looks cool, check it out. This is from the creators, David Benioff and was it Wise, I think? The guys who did Game of Thrones. Man, what the hell's the other guy's name? Yeah, it's like Benioff and Wise. But yeah, they did Game of Thrones, so this is their new big project. It's on Netflix. You can watch all the episodes now. There's 8 episodes. Like I said, I watched the first two. I try to wait to watch this show to where I can really pay attention to it because there's so much going on. So I just haven't had much time to continue this one on. But it's crazy, and there's some really crazy visuals on this thing that are trippy. So check out Three Body Problem over on Netflix. And then lastly, I am almost done now with the new documentary, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. Discover the untold story of the toxic and abusive environment inside 90s kids TV. Hear harrowing accounts from former child stars and crew who probe the balance of power in the industry and reveal an era that inflicted lasting wounds that are still felt today. So yeah, man, this is a crazy documentary. You can check this one out on Max. It's also available on Discovery Plus. Mainly, this is about Nickelodeon. A lot of those old school Nickelodeon shows, like All That and The Amanda Show, and you know, Drake and Josh. About what the environment, the abusive environment that was on set during these shows. It's, you know, you got pedophiles working there. You got just a lot of toxicity going on. You need to just watch this. It's a rough watch at times, especially hearing these poor kids who are now grown up talking about what they went through. It's rough. It's rough. It is a hard watch, but it is a very interesting watch and a very deep watch. So I recommend that you check this one out. I only got one episode left. It's 4 episodes. I've watched 3. Actually, they just announced today that they're going to add an additional 5th episode in April with some new stuff. So that'd be pretty interesting. But yeah, man, check this one out. It'll make you wonder if you'd want your kid, you know, if you had a young kid, would you let them go work on like a Nickelodeon or a Disney show after watching this? Would you do it? I don't know if I would. So check out Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, now streaming on Max. All right, guys, that's what I got for you guys. So we got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, 3 out of 5 stars, now in theaters. Arthur the King, now in theaters, 3 out of 5 stars. Roadhouse, now streaming on Prime Video, 4 out of 5 stars. Over on the TV side, we got X-Men 97, now streaming on Disney Plus. First 2 episodes are out now. New episodes drop every Wednesday. Three Body Problem, you can stream the whole season now on Netflix. And Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, like I said, over on Max and Discovery Plus. So, oh, and then I do have one more show. Sorry, I had it up on my screen and I didn't even write it down. Because I don't know about this one yet. I started a show, and most of you probably won't even know what this is, but it's called Beacon 23. Beacon 23 came out at the end of last year, I believe in November. It's an MGM Plus original, and this one here is a sci-fi show that's got characters Aster Kallax and Halon Kai Nelson, who are drawn to Beacon 23. Navigating one threat after another, they unravel the Beacon's mysteries just in time to face their most powerful enemy. So this is a really big sci-fi show that did really well for MGM Plus. They actually got renewed really quick for a season two. And season two, I believe they've already dropped the first episode. So what a quick turnaround. I mean, season one just ended in December, and they already got another season out like 3 months later. That's crazy. But this one here stars Lena Headey and Stephen James. So pretty much just two main characters, you can tell by the poster. And here's what I'll say. I only watched the first episode because I've heard some good things. I wanted to check it out. It's written by Zach Penn, and I like him a lot. I like most of the stuff he's penned. I don't know, man. I watched that first episode, and I was just kind of like, okay. Okay. I'll give it a couple more to see if it picks up. It's got to, right? It's got to pick up. It's got to do something. Not much happens in the first episode other than these two fighting with each other all the time. And it's just weird. Like, something's happening, but we don't know what it is. And nothing really happens, but they keep fighting each other. What's the mystery? Why are they drawn to this beacon? I don't know. So we'll wait and see. We'll see where it goes. We'll see how it goes. And we'll go from there. Okay? But that's Beacon 23, Season 1, now streaming. Actually, it is an MGM Plus original, but it just started streaming on Prime Video as well. So if you don't have MGM Plus, you could check out Season 1 on Prime Video. Alrighty, guys. That's the reviews now. Let's go on over to the box office. Coming in at number 10, it's Bob Marley, One Love, which is now available on home video. Number 9 is Cabrini. Number 8 is Love Lies Bleeding. Number 7 is Imaginary. Number 6 is Late Night with the Devil, making its debut at number 6. Number 5, Arthur the King. Number 4, making its debut, is Immaculate. That's the new Sydney Sweeney horror movie. Number 3 is Kung Fu Panda 4. Number 2 is Dune Part 2. And number 1, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire with $45 million. So very nice debut there for Ghostbusters. Really, really like that one there. All right, guys, that's the box office. That's the reviews out the way. Now let's get caught up with the news of the week. Now, pretty much right after we did last week's episode, the next day, they dropped the first little teaser for Beetlejuice. That's right, the sequel, Beetlejuice 2. Tim Burton is back. Michael Keaton is back. Jenna Ortega's in this one. The juice is loose. Beetlejuice will be hitting theaters on September 6th. And you can check that one out from Warner Brothers. And looks really, really good, man. I dug it. It sucks, though, because it's a very short trailer. It's only about a minute long. I would have liked to have seen more, but hey, I'll take what I can get at this point, right? So, Shooter McGavin. You remember Shooter McGavin? Christopher McDonald from Happy Gilmore. He says that Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works. That's right. He says the script exists. This is his quote. He said, I saw Adam Sandler about 2 weeks ago, and he says to me, you're going to love this. I said, what? He says, how about that? And he shows me the first draft of Happy Gilmore 2. Maybe you should cut that out because I don't want to be a liar, but he did show me that. And I thought, well, that would be awesome. So it's in the works. Fans demand it, damn it. So, you know, fans have been demanding a Happy Gilmore 2 for a very, very long time. Crazy to see that it's actually happening. I don't know. Actually happening might even be a stretch. It looks like he's working on it. He's got a script. Doesn't mean it'll actually happen. So we'll keep you posted on that one there. Doctor Who, we got the new trailer. It begins streaming on Friday, May 10th. So check out the trailer for the new season. Night Swim and Lisa Frankenstein are coming to Peacock. Lisa Frankenstein is going to hit Peacock this week on Friday, and then Night Swim will be hitting Peacock, I believe, the first Friday in April. So there you go, man. So two big movies there, even though Night Swim sucked. But I didn't get a chance to see Lisa Frankenstein, so I'll definitely be checking that out this weekend over on Peacock. Outlander Season 7 Part 2 is coming very, very soon, so get ready for that. Maggie Q is set to lead a new Prime Video spinoff that's going to be based on Bosch. So I know a lot of people love that Bosch universe, and I love me Maggie Q. So maybe this is the one that'll get me in to watch. Kevin Harrison Jr. is set to star in a new Universal musical, and Divine Joy Randolph is circling a role in it as well. Netflix has a new spy series coming called Black Doves, and they're working on the casting on that one. Foundation Season 3 is also adding more casting, along with some Game of Thrones vets to join as well. Eddington has also cast some four more side characters to Ari Aster's new movie that he's working on. It is official that the Peaky Blinders movie is happening, and it's going to start production here pretty soon. So for those of you who love that show, you are getting the movie. Chucky Season 3 Part 2 trailer has just been dropped, and you can see more of Chucky. I like this show a lot, man. I'm glad that it's coming back here pretty soon. Alex Garland's Civil War is currently tracking to be A24's biggest opening weekend ever. This movie looks so, so good, and the reviews are outstanding. So looking forward to seeing that when it hits theaters. I'm a little sad about this. Pete Davidson's show Bupkis, which was a hit for Peacock, and they renewed it for Season 2. Now they're saying Season 2 is no longer happening. Pete Davidson actually talking to Peacock and saying, you know what, I just don't want to do this show anymore. This show was about a part of my life. It's over, and I'm heading in a new direction with my life, and I just don't feel the need to go back and kind of revisit it. For those of you that didn't watch Bupkis, it was kind of loosely taken, true story kind of on his life, right? And it was a really good show. I enjoyed Bupkis a lot. So when they renewed it for Season 2, I was down. But I kind of understand where he's coming from. As a creator, he's saying, you know, I loved Bupkis. Like, he's now hating on the show. He's like, I love the show. I loved making it. I loved who I worked with. But when I'm thinking about doing a Season 2, he's like, it's all part of my life that I just want to put behind me. Like, I want to move on to new stuff and look forward instead of looking back. So basically, he asked Peacock to not come back and do the show, and they obliged. So no Bupkis Season 2 moving forward anymore. We have the new trailer for Monkey Man, so check that out. That's Dev Patel's new action movie, which is getting really good early reviews. Paramount Plus has dropped the first 6 episodes of the star-studded animated series Arc. I have never heard of Arc. I know they're saying it's based on a... Oh, maybe... Is it like a role-playing game? Because they're saying based on the best-selling game, which to me makes me think of like PlayStation or Xbox game, but maybe that's what it is. Maybe, you know, Friggins will let me know. Maybe this is based on like a kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons type of, you know, tabletop game. But yeah, it is star-studded though. I saw the list and there is 100 people doing voices for this thing that are awesome. So, but yeah, you can check out the first 6 episodes now on Paramount Plus. The Boondock Saints 3 is happening, and Norman Reedus, along with Sean Patrick Flannery, are returning for the new movie. So there you go. I hate the Boondock Saints 1 and 2. A lot of people love this movie, those movies, though, for some reason. So glad for you that you're getting a part 3. We have the Season 2 trailer for Heartbreak High coming soon to Netflix. House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming out June 16th. For those of you looking for it, and they dropped 2 trailers. There's a green trailer and a black trailer. So pledge your loyalty and see which trailer works for you. So choose a side. Another trailer dropped, and this time it's for The Batman. That's right. The spinoff TV show from the Batman movie with Matt Reeves. Colin Farrell is the Penguin, and it's coming this fall to Max. And this is the first full trailer for it. It looks fantastic. Colin was so good as the Penguin. You know, I love being back in this universe. And hopefully Batman will make an appearance, because I don't see how you do a full show in Gotham and not have Batman show up. But yeah, this looks crazy, man. Gangsta show. So check out the trailer for the Penguin. Love it. All right, we have the poster and synopsis for Eric, which is a new Netflix limited series that's coming May 30th. And Benedict Cumberbatch stars in this. Premieres May 30th. The series follows a father's desperate search for his 9-year-old son who disappears one morning on the way to school. Full of self-loathing and guilt, he clings to his son's drawing of a blue monster puppet who becomes his only ally in the pursuit to bring his son home. So sounds very interesting. Can't wait to see a trailer for this. And yeah, May 30th over on Netflix, Benedict Cumberbatch. All right, some of your shows have been preempted over on CBS and Paramount Plus due to March Madness. So we have a list out with when all the shows are returning. Speaking of returning, Cillian Murphy will return. It's official for the Peaky Blinders movie. It's shooting this fall. And yes, he is coming back. It is confirmed. So that's awesome there. NCIS Origins has cast Kyle Schmid as the young Mike Franks. Uncoupled has been unrenewed. That's right. Season 2 of the Neil Patrick Harris canceled Netflix comedy is not moving forward at Showtime. So this is a crazy situation, man. The show Uncoupled was on Netflix. It got canceled. Showtime picked it up and said, we'll bring it back. And now Showtime has canceled it before they've even done the show. So I don't understand these moves sometimes, man. Well, it's just so heartbreaking to me. If I was an actor and my show got canceled and then another network said, we're going to save it. And you're like, yes. And then several months later, they're like, you know what? We're not going to do it. And then you're like, what the fuck? Are you just going to pull the rug out from everybody? So very crazy. But yes, Uncoupled with Neil Patrick Harris is not moving forward. The Chicago shows and Law & Order SVU have been renewed over on NBC. We have the trailer for The Veil, which is Elizabeth Moss's new FX / Hulu spy thriller that's coming out soon. So check out the trailer for that. The people behind Ghostbusters saying that the franchise could expand with some globe-trotting adventures. You know, and I saw Dan Aykroyd talking about this as well, too, that, hey, there's ghosts in other countries as well. So they could have some spinoff stuff with Ghostbusters in other countries. So that'd be pretty interesting. Mikel Gondry is going to direct the Pharrell Williams quasi-biopic Atlantis. Denis Villeneuve says he will only make Dune Messiah if he's sure it will be better than Part 2. So look at that, man. Everybody's waiting for this third Dune movie, and Denis is over here saying, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. So I'm sure Warner Brothers will make it regardless, but it might not be with Denis Villeneuve. So, you know, he's looking at some stuff. They're working on a script. They're trying to see what's up. But he straight up has said, if it doesn't feel like it's going to be a better movie than two, I don't want to do it. So makes sense, and we'll see how it goes from there. Let's see here. Nicole Kidman and Henry Golding are set for the Nine Perfect Strangers season 2. Season 1 was pretty interesting. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. So glad that season 2 is coming back. Henry is a great addition. Nicole's always awesome. So interesting to see where this one goes. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are going to be singing live in the Wicked movie. Director John M. Chu says they're live vocals in the movie. When we were shooting it, those girls were like, fuck the pre-records, we're going live. So man, give them props for that. That's awesome. Sony is going to be releasing a new animated short called The Spider Within, a Spider-Verse story. This is going to be hitting Sony's YouTube channel at 6 a.m. Pacific time on March 27th. So tomorrow you will be able to check out this new Spider-Verse, little short movie. So that's pretty awesome there. They've been talking about this one for a while. Can't wait to check that out. Fresh off the success of his action pick, The Beekeeper, David Ayer is continuing to stay busy as the director has signed on to helm a new Paramount movie called Heart of the Beast. Damien Chazelle and Olivia Hamilton are also going to be producing. So I like that. Great, great combination there. Joker 2 will feature primarily well-known songs and some originals could be added. So yeah, this is a rumor that was going around that there was about 15, kind of a jukebox of like 15 well-known songs that they were going to be doing in Joker 2, but that they also might add some original stuff. We'll have to see how that one plays out, but that's what's going on with Joker 2 in the music. Wizards of Waverly Place sequel show gets a series order, so it is moving forward. Congratulations there. Eyes of Wakanda, the animated show that is coming from Marvel Studios Animation, they're saying it is still on track to be released later in the year, and that this animated show does take place in the MCU. So unlike some of the other stuff they've been doing in the animated world, they were very clear to say Eyes of Wakanda takes place in the MCU. So it's the first time an animation project has kind of been within the MCU. So very cool there. Karen Pittman is leaving And Just Like That ahead of season 3. So, you know, they've lost a couple cast members there before season 3. So very interesting there. I wonder why people are dropping out. Ryan Coogler is going to produce a Prince jukebox musical for Universal. I don't really get what that means. every article I read just says he's doing a Prince jukebox musical. What the fuck is a jukebox musical? Like, are we doing, it's not a biopic, but we're just doing a musical? I mean, maybe that's what it is. They're just doing a musical where they jump song to song to song and there's really no narrative. Yeah, I'm uncertain, but I love Ryan Coogler and I love Prince. So I would love to see what he does with this. So I am intrigued. Count me intrigued. Alrighty. Let's see here. We talked about that. Elizabeth Banks and Matthew McFadden are going to be doing a new show over on Peacock called The Miniature Wife. Okay. I do love me some Elizabeth Banks, though, so I'll probably check it out. Cillian Murphy, he's coming up a lot today. He's also set to lead a new Universal movie adaptation of the book Blood Runs Cold. So there you go there. Outlander Season 8 is beginning production for its final chapter. The Last Thing He Told Me, Jennifer Garner thriller, has scored a Season 2 renewal over on Apple TV+. This one here is interesting because this show was based on a book and they said it was a limited series, which is a one and done, but it did so well for Apple TV Plus that they're like, we're going to do a season two. So congratulations there. We have a trailer for Darkness of Man, which is a new action thriller starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. I love it. So good to see JCVD back. Robert Pattinson is set to produce How to Save a Marriage over for Sony, and he could star in the movie as well. The First Omen, the horror prequel movie, went to the ratings board 5 times to avoid being NC-17. I like the sound of that. I don't really care to watch this movie, but I like that they pushed the R rating. That's pretty, pretty cool. We have some set photos of A Complete Unknown, which is the Bob Dylan biopic that they're doing, and you get your first look at Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan. He looks pretty cool there. We have the trailer for Under the Bridge, which is Lily Gladstone's new Hulu drama. And the Michael movie has just added Lorenz Tate and Cat Graham to the Michael Jackson biopic. We have the new Bluey trailer for the hit show's first ever special. Euphoria Season 3 filming has been delayed again, but they're still hoping to get the show out by 2025. This is just because everybody's so damn busy. They want Zendaya to go make Spider-Man. Sydney Sweeney is super, super busy. Jacob Elordi is super, super busy. All your main characters are busy doing other projects, and it keeps pushing Euphoria back. So they do still hope to film later this year, and they are still hoping to get it out by 2025. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted on Euphoria. You! Over on Netflix, it has begun production, baby. Joe Goldberg is back in New York, and the final season is now in production. So hopefully they'll get this one knocked out real quick, and we'll get it for the end of the year. I am so excited for this fifth and final season. Catherine O'Hara is going to be returning to TV with a starring role opposite Seth Rogen in Apple TV Plus's new showbiz satire called The Studio. Candy-ass Dillard Bassett is leaving Real Housewives of Potomac after 6 seasons. Adam Wingard confirms that his Thundercats movie is still in active development, so we'll see if that ever comes to fruition. Speaking to Sydney Sweeney, she confirms that her Barbarella reboot is still in the works, but no comment on Edgar Wright's involvement anymore on the project. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. This is our big movie of the weekend, of the upcoming weekend. And the first reactions have dropped after the premiere, and they're pretty much what you'd expect. They're pretty solid reviews for the most part. And pretty much what most of them are saying is that the human aspect, once again, it's whatever. The story, a little thin, whatever. But what you want to see is in the movie. They said this movie is chock full of some big giant monster action, and it's pretty damn incredible. So everybody really, really excited about what they're seeing there from the monster standpoint, and that gets me excited because that's all I care about is seeing these titans fight, and that sounds like it's all good when it comes to this movie. So hells yeah. Also joining the Seth Rogen show, the studio we just talked about, is Catherine Hahn. So great addition. Love me some Catherine Hahn. So awesome, awesome addition there for that show. Scarlett Johansson, I think we mentioned the rumor last week that she might be doing the new Jurassic World movie. And now it looks like it's closer to fruition. I don't think she is officially signed on, but it is confirmed that she is in advanced talks to star in the new movie. So I think she's going to do it. And I'm still very excited about this. I think she's going to be a great lead for this Jurassic World movie. And then, man, I was so excited that when I woke up today, there was a trailer for the new Bad Boys movie, for Bad Boys 4, which is not Bad Boys 4 Life, because that was the third movie. I bet you they regret naming the third movie that. But the official title is Bad Boys Ride or Die. I like that title, too. It fits. And this trailer is fantastic. I'm so excited for Bad Boys. It looks so good. The relationship is there. The comedy is there. The action is there. This looks great. I'm so excited. So Bad Boys Ride or Die in theaters June 7th. Check out the trailer. Oh man, looks so good. Fear Street, Prom Queen. We talked about this one here. Netflix said this is the next one they're doing. India Fowler, Susanna Sun, Finn Estraza, David Lacano, Ella Rubin, Chris Klein, Lily Taylor, and Catherine Watterson are all set to join us in Shadyside for one hell of a prom night. Set in 1988, prom season is underway, and the It girls are competing for the crown until an outsider gets nominated and the other girls start mysteriously disappearing. So there you go. Got your new Fear Street coming soon from Netflix, and that's your casting there. We also have the first trailer for the Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead remake. This hits theaters on April 12th, so check out the trailer there. Spiderwick Chronicles trailer is also dropped for the coming-of-age fantasy series that's coming to the Roku channel. Julia Roberts is set to star in Luca Cudagino's new thriller, After the Hunt. We have the trailer for The Goat, which is Prime Video's new competition series that's going to be hosted by Daniel Tosh. The Bad Guys 2, a lot of people have been wondering where the hell's the sequel, because it was a big, big hit. It is finally set. The animated DreamWorks sequel will hit theaters on August 1st, 2025. Alexander Ludwig is set to star in a new MGM Plus sci-fi miniseries called Earth Abides. Ariana DeBose is joining the new action movie with Ki-Hoo Kwan called With Love. The Accountant 2 is now in production. It's finally happening. I'm so excited for Accountant 2. Max is giving a straight-to-series order to Noah Wiley's new medical drama, The Pit. Jerry Bruckheimer, producer on the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, says that when they do the next Pirates movie, it will be a reboot. They're starting completely over. So we don't need it. I think we're good right now without Pirates of the Caribbean. So let's just chill on that for a sec. SNL 1975 cast has been finalized, and they just added J.K. Simmons to it as well. You can check out the link to see the full casting for this movie. We have the trailer for The Dead Don't Hurt, which is Viggo Mortensen's new Western movie. I'm excited about this. Brett Goldstein has been set for a season 2 guest role over on Shrinking. I loved Shrinking. It was one of the best shows of 2023. Brett Goldstein, of course, one of the highlights from Ted Lasso. He is a co-creator on Shrinking, and I always hoped that we'd see him pop up on the show, and now it's happening. He'll have a guest role, and that's awesome. Elizabeth Moss and Kerry Washington are set to headline a new Apple TV Plus limited series called Imperfect Women. X-Men 97 drew 4 million viewers in its Disney Plus debut. And Jen Tran has been named the star of season 21 of The Bachelorette. Scott Derrickson is set to direct a new adaptation of The Night of the Hunter. Bruce Springsteen movie is in the works from director Scott Cooper, and they are looking at Jeremy Allen White to star as Bruce. So very interesting there. I like that. and the MCU Spider-Man 4. A lot of rumors going around that they are looking at directors Justin Lin and Drew Goddard as they hope to start shooting later this year in the fall. So they need to get going on this. We are ready for our Spider-Man 4. Drew Goddard is a great pick. I think Justin Lin is a great pick. So two very solid directors. We'll see which ends up getting it. But man, just glad to see that. I think we're finally getting close to an announcement for Spider-Man 4. All right, guys, and that's our news. We did it. We're coming in right at that 50-minute mark, so still little longer for my taste, but hey, we had a lot of reviews to get through. So thank you for joining me, and thank you for keeping up with me on this ride. I hope you feel educated as always. So let's do some plugs real quick. AmIOnTheAir.com is the official webpage, so make sure you bookmark that. It's where you can get to all the socials and everything you need. Stream the show, AmIOnTheAir.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook at facebook.com/AmIOnTheAir. Follow us on X or Twitter, if you still call it that, at AmIOnTheAir or at DXDonMega. So make sure you follow both socials there. They're the same tags over on Threads. So if you've moved on over to Threads, you can follow us there as well. Make sure you subscribe and like the podcast. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review if you could. That'd be great. But yes, you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora. We're on everything. So make sure you subscribe and leave a thumbs up wherever you listen to your podcast. Always make sure you follow us too on YouTube. Our show streams on YouTube as well. But yes, youtube.com/AmIOnTheAir. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well. And don't forget, we do video reviews. I do my quick thoughts after we check out a new movie. I got a quick thought video up there, 60 seconds in and out to let you know what I thought of the movie. So make sure you follow on the socials to get a hand on those. And yes, that's Instagram and TikTok. Just search Am I on the Air. And thank you to our great affiliates at Red Dragons Radio and the Pop Culture Pros. That's reddragonsradio.com. Follow on Twitter at Red Dragons Radio. And the Pop Culture Pros, follow at popculture_pros. I appreciate you guys always streaming us on demand. And that'll do it for me tonight on this Wednesday, March the 26th. We will be back next week. We'll be talking some Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Very, very excited. Going to be checking that out on IMAX this weekend. And we'll see what else comes down the pipe. So take care of yourselves and each other. And until next time, y'all. Peace. Red Dragons!